Yo, 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 here we go. It's the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. Eli Lake, G Monetti.
Yes.
What's the deal, Eli Lake?
Because I had a rough day on Twitter today.
These are little fuckboy, hipster fucks who think they are above and beyond everything. They're so hopped up on political correctness. I mean, fuck Carl Digler. Fuck Carl Digler.
Yeah, I know. Fuck that dude. I know. Fuck all of them.
They have their little shit stained podcast.
I love it.
I also noticed that these crackers that I'm talking about, they try to affect hip hop slang, but in a hipster way. Like I noticed that they try to snap, but they try to do it but it's all corny. Like the whole style is chump. So do you want to explain to us what happened?
I mean, they're ironists. And
they're ironists. I got irony. I got irony for you. Yeah, I don't play that irony shit. What's the name of that podcast that what are they called? The El Chapos?
Yeah, the Chapo Trap House.
Their thing is called the Chapo Trap House.
Happy New Year, everybody. We're back.
What up, Duke?
Yo, what up, Duke?
Hey, yo. Okay. Y'all thought you were watching that goofy-ass, hipster-ass, broke-ass, whack-ass, girls-ass, Hamilton-ass, head-ass, dead-ass, hipster show, the El Chapo Trapped House? Hell no, Duke. This is the Red Kahina and Michael Rapaport podcast, yo. Capo Bibikoff, their whole shit is whack. Their whole game is chested. Dead ass for a grandma, though.
2016, whole style was chump. 2016, 2017, Duke. Yo, that's that real shit.
Yo, speak on it. Speak on it.
Yeah, that's a little taste of we took a week and a half off or so for the new year. Now we're back. It's our first episode of 2017. It's also, I'd like to note, episode 69.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Yo, yo. I just want yo, right now, yo, for real, player. I'm trying to introduce a main boy, my Duke, my heart. We go back. Yo, that boy James Adomian sitting in episode 69. What up, dude?
Hey, what's up?
Hello, James.
James is back in the trap, everybody.
Yeah, I just came back to score some sweet pod.
We're now on the other side of a new year.
A new year, and last time I saw you guys, it was before an avalanche of press from people who were outraged that this exists.
We refer to that as the pre-TV, pre-couch era.
Yeah.
The moment they started writing articles about me calling Clinton activists mentally ill, that was like the Lufthansa heist.
That was the worst thing.
We have two couches.
Wait, I did notice that Chapo guys have been turning up dead here and there. That's a different piano song.
It took him 3 weeks to peel him from his gaming rig.
Everybody started getting whacked when Chapo went down.
Yo,
when that Atlantic article came out.
Yeah, you heard that, though? That was some corny, whack-ass motherfuckers laughing at their own joke, Duke.
Yo. Hey, yo, dude, that
their
whole
style is chump. In case you hadn't realized, we're making reference to one of the better things that happened to the show. Probably the best press coverage we've gotten all year to round out the very, very end of the year. Our beef with the character actor Michael Rapaport and his podcast, I Am Michael Rapaport.
We finally have the enemies we deserve.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love it.
What is Michael Rapaport?
Michael Rapaport. Oh. Okay. Let's narrate this whole saga for James now. Michael Rapaport is a character actor. You have seen him in every movie.
Yeah.
Like, he's been around for a long time. We were just going through his credits on IMDb, and he's been in everything. Right? You may remember him as Clarence's friend in True Romance, who had Brad Pitt as his stoner roommate. You may remember him from the TV show Boston Public. He was in a couple Spike Lee movies.
Always in Boston.
Yeah. Oh, the best father's sitcom ever, The War at Home.
Isn't he currently on that?
No, that show went off the air like during the Bush presidency.
No, but I feel like 90% of the time when there's like an Irish bartender, he is that Irish bartender. Even though he's not Irish, he's Jewish, which means he's stealing valor, even though like 80% of his career is him saying, "Don't do it, Sean. It's not worth it, Sean."
Hey, Duke, you're stealing valor from the first slaves in America. You was slaves when they was building them pyramids.
This is a guy, when you encounter in real life, you finish your beer and go to the next room.
Okay, so we were making fun of his friend Eli Lake. He found out about it, and then like I guess they decided to do a show about it. But like the funniest thing is, and you heard in that clip, is that he accuses us of appropriating hip-hop slang and culture in a way that's corny, Duke. It's corny.
We do be like that, though.
Fuck the hipster fucks and fuck the political correct fuckboys and their skinny jeans, their coffee breath, and the newspapers under their stinky ass
armpits.
That's like
some kind of shitty talk radio. Yeah.
Yes. I love it.
I also noticed that these crackers, they try to affect hip-hop slang, but in a hipster way.
Deadass, like, I hate when
I
people do that.
They, like, they try to
How
snap, but
this?
They like try to do it like, you know, like. But it's all corny. Like, the whole style is chump.
What happened here every time I hear
the whole thing is chump.
And what I love about that is if you now listen to the Michael Rappaport podcast, he sounds like someone with brain damage trying to impersonate a skit on a rap album circa 1992. Is basically that like that like that's his style.
Or he sounds like most morning radio guys.
Hey man, okay, y'all, before I begin the show, the post office, their whole style is chump. Get your ass to stamps.com. Baron, tell him how depressed you is.
I should say.
Yeah, man, you're on your own. I don't know.
I think
I don't know. Yeah, shit, what is the trap house? Why is the trap house? I don't get it.
Why, you can't leave?
What do you do? Who are your guys? Who are your guys?
I should say that unlike Marin, I actually do like Michael Rappaport.
No, I'm always pleased every time I see him in a movie. It's like, okay, we're about to get some charming character work.
Now, wait, was he in the Whitey Bulger movie? Or was
I don't think he was.
He seems like he was. That's
he seems
all.
Like he should have been.
He was haunting that movie.
Yeah. Yo, let me in this shit, dude.
So getting roasted by him was really fun. And I like I said, I thought it was our best media hit this year was just getting on Michael Rappaport's radar. And hopefully in 2017, we can start a few more vendettas against character actors.
Yeah, who else is out there? William H. Macy?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Yo, fuck him, he's going down.
I think your language is inappropriate.
But just like, what I think is interesting about Rappaport's show is like I said, he's like a hip-hop dude. He directed a documentary on A Tribe Called Quest, apparently. And apparently they hate him now because of it. But,
that rule.
I just think it's funny because, okay, like...
Yo, action.
But, like, Eli
Yo,
Lake...
Quest. Cut on that shit. What is the Porky Pig shit he's doing?
I just think it's funny because, like, Eli Lake is, like, his call-in foreign policy correspondent. But, like, it's clear if you, like, listen to the whole show, like, Rappaport doesn't really understand, like, politics or like issues or things like that. Like if he goes, it goes on and he's like, after he gets done talking about us, he's like, yo Eli, though, I want you to break down for me, though, yo, what's up with Israel and the Obama administration, because yo, I don't understand all that shit, I don't know all the terms, so my man, yo, break it out in layman's terms.
Hey yo, my man Eli told me that the Shia crescent is forming. Yo, the Caliph Ali was a straight buster. Omar.
But I think it's funny because, like, he has this podcast and, like, he's like, he has the perfect, like, morning radio show guy personality. But, like, he has this podcast. So, like, I think his fan base are all, like, middle-aged white guys like him and Eli Lake who, like, really love, like, 90s hip-hop. But also voted for Donald Trump and support the police and shit like that.
Yeah.
Is Eli Lake a Trump guy?
No, he's...
I don't know if Eli Lake is a Trump guy.
No, he's not. He's a McMullen guy.
Yeah. Oh, the true heroes.
Yeah.
The heroes of the Republic.
Well,
I thought... I saw the video of him literally making like a dash cam video of him rapping while his son is just nodding along. Yeah, in a Rappaport. And his son, by the way, looks like a smaller, uglier Michael Rappaport. And it's tragic. In black and white.
I was hoping it was Evan McMullen.
But I looked at the comments, and there was literally a guy whose avatar was a fighting Irishman. Who was just like, you're crazy for this one. Like, it was like...
Yeah, no, it's just...
His profile was written in the Gaelic letters at a bar in New York.
No, but they're
that's
like...
That's his fan base.
All stand for the Irish national anthem. Jump around.
No, but like, you know, middle-aged white guys, maybe they have the Irish flag rippling on their neck, but definitely they all wear exclusively sports team gear, like on the weekend, or if they don't have to go to the office, they're rocking a fitted Yankee hat, a Knicks jersey, and like, they're angrily calling in Mike Francesa's show when they're not talking to
Rappaport. You got
to
go through life caring about that kind of worthless bullshit, or you might have to question your place in this world.
So yeah, but the whole this whole thing started because Eli Lake was in the midst of like a 3-day meltdown over this U.S. the abstention of the U.S. from this UN vote that officially condemned Israeli settlements, right? And it's like Obama's on the way out. The U.S. abstains from this. They pass this meaningless resolution that Israel's not going to abide by in any sense. No one's going to force them to. And it doesn't matter anyway because Trump is president and they can do whatever the fuck they want now.
Yeah, the U.S. just abstained, right?
Yeah.
Nothing. Did nothing.
No. Yeah, they literally could not do any less.
That's like going, that's like pulling a zipper across your lips in the United Nations.
But like this whole thing started because Eli was just tweeting for days straight being like, I'm speechless. I'm speechless. I can't believe I ever defended the Democrats. They, you know, stabbed Israel in the back on their way out the door or whatever. And it's just like, shut the fuck up, dude. Like, you've got what you went. You got what you wanted.
Right.
Like, what is he
like
mad about?
Is, like, this is not the time for you to decide that you're going to move to the newly invigorated right wing in terms of Israel. Like, that made more sense before there were like serious anti-Semites starting to form a kind of political movement.
Is he hopping over to the Republican side after hopping over to the left?
Well, I don't, I mean, like, who
it's
the fuck
like
knows?
He's rolling,
I think
off
he's just being hysterical.
It's more like he's rolling off of a wall and onto the Republican sidewalk, but the yoke cracks and it drips over to the right wing side.
That analogy is whack. This whole thing is chump.
But the thing he got most angry about is that, like, we retweeted all of these, like, rap. He had a series of pro cop raps.
Oh my God.
In tweet form.
Yeah, in tweet form that were like, love the police, hug the police. I think we need to show them gratitude, not whackitude and shit like that. And his defense on Rappaport's show is like, look, he's like, well, look, I know it looks embarrassing, but those were in 2010. And I just like to say, Eli, that was still fucking embarrassing in 2010.
Yeah.
You were like, that was back in 2010 when I was 38. Learned to be way less of a lame ass since
then. But actually, like, no, the real what really kicked this off is that he's in the midst of this meltdown about Israel. And then this writer, Elizabeth Nolan Brown, who's at Reason Magazine, tweeted something about how, I don't know why anyone takes Eli seriously as some kind of objective source on Israel. I've been at parties with him where he's joked openly about dead Arabs. And then he immediately was like, what? I've never met you. Who are you? And she's like, I've met you several times. I even smoked weed with you at a party where you decided to do a rap for everybody. And then basically,
I think I'll favor you with one of my raps.
So basically everybody saw that. And was just laughing at Eli because
friends tried to come to his defense, though,
which was even worse.
It was so much worse. They were like, he is not that kind of guy. He is the kind of guy who puts on jazz fusion records for half an hour and tells you about the development of the genre.
It's like that is
not helping.
That's worse than laughing at Arabs dying.
Yeah.
Was everybody at the party forced to listen?
Yeah.
Like a ding, 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 ding.
But I love that because, like, this is DC and, like, this is the cowardice of, like, the political and media class writ large, that no one was just like, shut the fuck up about jazz fusion.
Well, he actually had officers from the Gulani Brigade behind him, preventing anyone from leaving, barricading the doors so he could talk about jazz fusion.
He wouldn't need it. Those Acela people are so deferential to anyone who has a tie clip. Like, it doesn't matter.
Acela people?
Have we... Is this discussed
Amtrak?
The
Amtrak
like the
corridor.
People on the line of the... Yeah,
Acela
yeah.
people? One time at one of the Trump versus Bernie shows, I was doing Chris Matthews, and I was talking about, like, you ever get that? You take the Acela train down from Boston to D.C.? Sometimes they get in a loud car. They make a loud car for me. I just get in front of the train. Get in the front of the train like a cattle sweeper. I just go, hey, it's just a hardball. Have you guys ever been shit on by MSNBC? Has that happened yet?
It's coming.
No.
It's coming?
It's coming soon, yeah. For sure.
Joya Ann Reed. Chris Matthews. Maybe Chris Hayes.
Chris Hayes?
Stab you in the back.
Yeah.
And now... A troublesome look at Chapel Trap House.
So I guess that was the Eli Lake Michael Rappaport saga that rounded out the year, but
hola, hola, hola.
I like Michael Rappaport. I still like
He's
Michael
a great
Rappaport.
Character.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I'm always happy to see him in a movie.
The coldest cut is the nice way to wrap up a beef. You're like, this guy sucks, but you know what? We like him. That's putting a little bit
he can
of ice
come
on the guy
he can
you just
come
played.
On. Putting the invitation out there.
Uh-oh, he's going to come on the trap house?
Come to the trap house. Come to the Park Slope Mansion.
Eli did challenge us to a freestyle rap battle, though.
What?
Yeah.
Why would he have done that?
Because he's good at rapping, apparently. Yeah, Skahill vouched.
You can't write, you can't rap think pieces.
Skahill vouched for that. He was like, I was at a party and saw him rap, and he rhymed Ashkenazi with Benghazi. And he said his flow was pretty good, but it was just surreal coming out of his egg-like head. Yeah, Jeremy Skahill.
Journalists hang out at parties all the time in D.C.?
That's what it seems like.
Even ones that, like, you wouldn't think liked each other.
If it's in D.C., is it really a party?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's the worst thing to think about in all of these things, is just, like, what it's like to socialize with these people.
Yeah, I got some hors d'oeuvres going around, sponsored by ExxonMobil.
Are you guys going to move on to millennial comedian Dan Nanon?
Oh, hell yeah!
Let's talk about that, because
I remember... he's older than me.
Yeah.
And he calls himself a millennial comedian?
Yep. Yeah.
I don't call myself a millennial comedian.
We talked about... I think, like, the week before the election, we talked about Dan Nanon on the show because he was featured in an article about millennials who are independent and undecided voters, like, a week before the election. And we talked about it on the show because it's hilarious that... I mean, like, just look at a picture of him. He's not a millennial.
First of all, I'm born in 1980, which is the tail end of the Gen X.
Yeah.
And it bothers me when I see them redefining the definition of the millennials backwards because they realize it's cool to be young. And people, like, every time it's been redefined, it's earlier and earlier. Like, originally, there was, like, millennials, 1984 onwards. And then they were like, we're thinking millennials, 1982 onwards. And now it's, like, each time it's redefined, it's like, when Nixon was in office, that was the dawn of the millennials.
It is clinging
like,
to
shut
you.
Up. You're just old. Live
but
with
that's,
it.
But that's the thing, though, about Nainan. Like, if someone said, okay, that's a 55-year-old guy, I'd be like, oh, he looks good for his age. If he was 30, he would... He looks like he's dying. Like, that would be a horrifying... Wouldn't you rather look good for 55 than, like... Well, Nick was explaining to us how he gets, like, called for all of these
things.
Well,
like, okay, so what he does is, like, I think you can... Like with the Undecided Millennials article, he, like... I think you can put yourself in, like, a database for, like, where journalists can search for, like, new sources for a story.
Yeah.
And he probably paid some money or, like, registered himself as, like, a millennial who's willing to talk to journalists about X, Y, or Z issue. And for some reason, they keep going back to him. And
this is the tragedy of journalism today, that we don't have the money for fucking fact checkers or even just someone to look at Dan Ninen's ancient fucking face
actually,
and know that he's not a fucking millennial.
There's no gopher budget anymore.
I actually think he doesn't go on the website and he's like deep throat. He calls people from a payphone and he meets them in an abandoned
like a millennial.
Yeah, like a millennial. He meets them in an abandoned parking garage and he's like, I'm a millennial.
Hey, I'm a millennial.
But you have to follow the 7-Eleven. You have to follow the curry with the sushi in it.
Want to hang out and do some millennial stuff, like listen to my 8-tracks.
Yeah. Dan Nainan doesn't do drugs.
Yeah, he doesn't do drugs, doesn't curse. Clean millennial comedian.
Clean millennial comic.
Yeah.
Clean comics always strike me as possibly psychos. Unless
Almost
otherwise.
Certainly.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Like, even there's comics who are mostly clean that I trust. Like, Andy Kindler will, like, once a year, he'll say the F word or something. And you're like, okay, all right.
At least he's human.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm working blue now.
What am I? What am I? Do you like the blue material? Should I move on to the orange chunk?
So Dan Nanon was featured in a couple articles this week. Both of them that had to be corrected about his. The first one was in Forbes magazine. They've since deleted this article, but thankfully someone has saved it online.
I like to think that Steve Forbes himself personally was like, we have to follow this article.
Well, I mean, from what we know about Dan, it seems like he just seems to impress rich people when he comes across.
Yeah.
Them. So like Steve Forbes.
That is the highest calling. It goes like this. Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
I found that the people who love clean comedy are ruthless psychos who have a fetish for destroying life on Earth.
Oh, yeah.
They're the kind of people where they're like, I'm glad you kept it clean up there.
They're obsessed with control and authority.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. They want psycho shit to happen from their office out into the world.
That's actually
in whatever business they're
that's
in.
That's what they play for drone pilots. When they're attacking weddings in Yemen.
Yeah, no, this is the Forbes article. The headline is Millennial Dan Nanon left Intel to make his millions entertaining others with comedy.
I called up my parents one day and they said they were gardening. I said, gardening? Why don't you just hire a couple of immigrants to do the gardening? My dad says, a couple of immigrants are doing the gardening. I hated making my bed when I was a kid. I still hate making it. And I asked my dad one morning, you know, Pa, why do I have to make my bed? It's just going to get messy again. And he says, why should you wipe your bottom?
And there's a...
Millions.
There's a photo of him in front of his Tesla automobile. We're going to get into the Tesla bit in a second. But it says, being an engineer can be fun. Lots of interesting projects, numerous challenges, but it isn't really a funny job. And Dan Nanon is funny. Not like Knock Knock Who's There funny, legitimate elite talent funny.
Elite. That's always what I'm looking for when I think of comedy. Elite.
But when he graduated from the university,
elite talent.
When he graduated from the University of Maryland in 2003 and got a job working at the Intel Corporation as a tour manager and then a marketing engineer, ooh, Dan had no reason to believe he'd do anything other than stay on track, rising up the corporate ladder. And then it just goes on about how he left his lucrative career in Intel to become a successful stand-up comedian. But Forbes deleted this article without even issuing a correction.
He took a two-figure pay cut for 6 months in order to bump up one figure in the law.
It says a funny thing happened, and that funny thing was Dan.
Oh, God.
In only his third comedy performance, he brought the house down. He was better at waking up the Intel employees than a triple latte. The attendees, including Grove, were rolling in with laughter in the aisles. But this is disturbing because if you've ever seen any clips of Dan Nanon's comedy, it's unbelievably not funny.
Yeah, the only things that make a billionaire laugh are like doing Pizzagate, like pouring oil down a manatee's throat, and triple tap airstrikes. And Dan Nanon, yeah.
Now for the second correction that was issued. Brendan, do you have the he was featured in a Cosmopolitan article about millennials who don't watch pornography. This was the hook. Millennials.
At least, by the way, Cosmo had the journalistic integrity to issue a correction.
Let me read it. This is the correction issued by Cosmo. It said, this article previously included three quotes from New York comedian Dan Nanon in this article. Quote, I think porn objectifies and degrades women, and I think that it consciously and subconsciously encourages men to mistreat them. I feel it's exploitative towards women, and it seems like a lot of guys waste time and energy on porn that would be better spent with real, live women. Nanon identified himself as 35 years old at the time of the interview, but it has since been revealed that he is 55 and thus not a millennial. He has been removed from the article.
That's my favorite thing. He has been removed from the article.
But I just like the idea of like the first porn he's seen, the guy had like a handlebar mustache and was riding a penny farthing.
Yeah, we all had that like come to Jesus moment when we're in front of the Nickelodeon.
Yeah. And you saw a woman
her
pick
ankle.
Up her dress for the first time. Yeah.
Oh, dear. She's in the mud.
Dan Ninen just continues to amaze with his millennial comedy. Do you want to talk about the Tesla corporate gig, though?
Yes.
Okay. So this is the setup for the Dan Ninen set that we watched the other day. Tim Faust found it, and it's a corporate gig at like a Tesla conference in Belgium. Okay. So the audience is mostly Belgian Tesla owners who own like the fancy electric car that Elon Musk created.
This is the kind of gig that I've maybe three times been offered something in this world. And always, every time it's happened, the offer has been rescinded because they then look up who I am.
You're not 100% clean.
I've never, yes. Yeah. And they're like, oh, he hates things like us. Oh, stop him. Stop him now.
So what? It's a half an hour set that is incredible because he doesn't get a single laugh the entire time.
No, it's a Tesla crowd, so there is a laugh, but you just don't hear it. It's like the engine.
It just sort of hisses. It just sort of, it hums gently.
Yeah.
But the best thing about this set is that like for half of it, he just shows like a slideshow of photos that he's taken like on vacation, and half of them are just funny signs that he sees. He shows pictures of different kinds of bottled water and signs that he says doesn't make sense. Like he's like, I took this one in New York and it's a garbage truck that says don't litter. And he was like, if people stop littering, there would be no garbage trucks. Why are they advertising this? That's the
joke.
It's
not even true.
Because he's been around rich people so long, he doesn't know what garbage men do anymore.
But the other side,
rich Belgian Tesla owners, he's completely lost touch with the basic services.
Like you, I'm vaguely aware that there's these Playmobil people out there that do Playmobil tests.
I mean, yeah, everyone in the audience is directly descended from King Leopold. And they're
like, so that is Belgium.
So the man, his mom is 7-Eleven. I don't get it.
Also,
why is the sign about the train funny?
I have performed in Belgium, and it is the worst. It's the worst show I've ever done. Probably, like, you have stories about bombing that are like, oh, it was so bad. This was the even worse than that because it was just like, we are watching you in utter silence. We understand you and are not impressed.
But maybe Dan was killing, and that's like just what
we are Belgians. We cannot show emotions.
I think when we saw you at the New York Comedy Festival, didn't you have a thing about how like their homophobia is like so advanced that they're just like, yes, our prime minister is gay. Everybody knows he is gay. Of course, you know, with the teenage boys, it's just everybody knows.
Yes, that's the European trick. In Europe, yeah. they're like super accepting, and then they have a gay joke right after it. So they're like, oh, yes, you're gay. That's good. You're probably fucking for money. That's the way it goes.
They have a Flemish like nationalist there too. They have their own little Nazis that wear, and I'm not kidding, little shorts. It's kind of Hitler Youth gay.
Flemish Nazi shorts?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like their Nazis are kind of like a throwback in a way.
Nazis on vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
like, taking a dip in the Volga.
Like J. Crew Nazis.
What's Dan's go-to joke again? He's half Indian, half Japanese, so
I get my sushi at 7-Eleven.
Or I get my sushi with curry.
Yeah.
Is another variation
that's a
on
good,
that joke.
My favorite one is when he opens up by going on stage and going, I bet you're all wondering, what race is this guy? And I'm like, I think that every time I see somebody.
Yeah.
This is the first thing I think.
I immediately want to racially identify everyone I see. I'm like the Terminator. Like, I get that little crosshair. I'm trying to identify the target.
Hey, I'm half Indian, half Japanese. You know what that means. Longitude 43 north, latitude 78 west, except I got those backwards. What's wrong? You don't like the cardinal directions material? Should I move on to my ordinal chunk?
So, but yeah, that the Tesla Motors comedy set is like one of the most surreal things I swear to God I've ever seen. But
fucking bizarre. Like, it's such a bizarre, uncomfortable... Like, you can audibly hear Dan sigh after he does the slides portion of the show.
He had one joke where he's like, I don't drink. I don't drink, like, which is cool because...
Because he's waiting for a cheer?
He's like, you save a lot of money. That's cool about, like, not drinking. And also, I've never woken up next to anyone unattractive. pause. Ooh. And then he goes, but several women have.
Dan, no.
And then you can hear him literally go, in a room of absolute silence.
It's fucking brutal.
That is the Belgian recipe right there.
Yeah.
We are a form of entertainment is to watch the comedian give him no laughs, and then after he leaves in shame, then we all laugh at him.
Well, they do, like, someone has an audible laugh like during the slideshow part where it's like, I forget which slide it was. It was probably one that was like, don't jump off the moving train. And Dan was like, well, so was there a problem with people getting on the moving train or something like that? And you hear one guy laughing. And I want them to make a documentary about the one guy that laughed during the Dan
Dana
show. I am
the jolliest man in Belgium. I found it moderately entertaining when the Eurozone was christened.
I just love that, like, I think it was in one of his slides in New York, like, there's no punchline. He just shows it and he's like, that's wild, isn't it?
Yeah. Was Hans Blix Belgian?
Yes, he
was.
Yeah,
he was.
Hans Blix. I wanted to open, like, I still want to open, like, a discotheque called Hans Blix. Or have that be a night, except that's 2002. Nobody would care about it now.
Yeah, that's
this whole thing was like, I will Europeanly try to stop this very American war. By driving around the desert with rational arguments.
Hold on a second. We have Eli Lake coming in. Hans Blix, his whole style is chump. He's a whack buster who drives.
Not understand this chump.
Fuck him. Fuck him, Michael.
Hey, dude, yo, y'all gotta stop playing these games at each other unless you're willing to break out the cardboard and break at each other, you know what I'm saying?
It sounds like you have appropriated cultures that is not yours.
I ain't appropriate shit, boy. I've been in movies since 1979. I done played Bartender 2. I don't fuck with your style, yo. I don't fuck with Little France.
So that's also the Flemish side.
By the way, don't fuck with that.
By the way, Eli also said that we don't like him because we blame him for the Iraq War. And I think I'd like to clarify, blaming you for the Iraq War would be like overestimating how powerful you really are, Eli. Yeah. But I certainly hold you accountable, along with every other piece of shit that helped lie and sell that bullshit and still defends it to this day. So you'll certainly be like, you know, I flush you down the toilet with everyone else who got on that train. But you alone, Eli, are not responsible for the war in Iraq. You're just responsible for kissing ass with, like, everyone who helped start it. And now you're kissing Michael Rappaport's ass.
Yeah, he's complicit in the propaganda that put forth a horrifying war.
Oh, yeah.
And jazz fusion. So really horrible tragedies that he has had a hand in.
He was right about one thing, though. He did say... about me, about the thing that I invented, I didn't write with anyone else. Carl Digler. I had no help on that.
Your child.
Certainly not somebody who's on the show with me. He was right when he said, I'm the best member of the show.
Right.
I'm the most talented.
And everyone else is a hack.
The person who you would have had you co-written that with someone isn't nearly as muscular.
Yeah.
Isn't nearly as alpha. And
yo,
Eli knows what he respects. He respects a Rappaport and he respects a Biederman.
That's right.
Let's see.
Is that a alpha to alpha back channel?
Yeah.
Shuttle diplomacy.
I see.
Well, here we go.
Eli. I look him in the eye and I'm like, we both live the guerrilla mindset.
So,
me and him.
So this is like a Nixon
game
goes to China
game,
moment.
Yeah.
Felix goes to Eli. Goes to Eli Lake.
Goes to the Beltway.
I'm going to open
the Beltway.
Rappaport. Eli, they got together, they're like, oh, well, Felix is the talented one out of all of us. And what I'd like to say to that is, these Jews like to stick together.
The special guest is somebody who flew in from New York with Brussels Airlines, business class, of course, thanks to our sponsor, Brussels Airlines. He is somebody who has just performed for Barack Obama, for Hillary Clinton, and even better, he is a Tesla driver. Ladies and gentlemen, can I give you, with a big round of applause, Dan!
If someone speaks many languages, they're probably European. If someone speaks only two languages, they must be Canadian or Mexican. And if one speaks only one language, they must be American. I'm sure, has anyone else heard that? No, okay. Anyway, a little bit about myself. My father is from India, and my mother is from Japan. Yes, my father is from India, my mother is from Japan, so I eat my sushi with curry on it. I'm sort of an unusual comedian. You know, I don't drink, smoke, do any drugs. I get up at like 6 in the morning, and my parents are still together. And not drinking. There's a lot of advantages to not drinking. Number one, you save a lot of money, which I put into Tesla stock. And number two, another advantage of not drinking, I have never woken up next to anybody unattractive. Although I must admit, a few women have. All right, you got that. Okay. Now, I do a lot of weddings around the world. I did a wedding in Miami, the Peñas and the Werners. And the wedding, it said the signs everywhere read Peña Werner Weeding. Weeding. Which is very apropos because the groom was a pothead, I guess.
Well, now that we're on the topic of apes and alphas, can we talk about Cernovich for a second?
Yes.
Because that was another really funny thing that happened in the last
week. Is that how you say it, Cernovich?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Interesting.
Interesting that I pronounce his name correctly and butcher everyone else.
Ooh.
Okay, I want to talk about his nootropic stack. Because did you guys see this thing?
Nootropics.
I had the exact same reaction. I had to have it explained to me, but Mike is on this kick now where he's taking experimental mind drugs called nootropics, and it's like basically like Success Win and like Silicon Valley people think that like if you take that, it's like the Ken Griffey Jr. brain tonic from the Simpsons episode. Like, it'll make you sharp. It'll make your memory.
It's like a party in my mouth and everyone's invited.
Yeah, exactly. And he's on a nootropic stack a cocktail of his own invention that he says is so powerful he can't give it to friends because it makes them too mindful.
Any other time he would be a snake oil salesman with like a travel, like a bandwagon, like a, what's the guy in with Wizard of Oz with the turban who's like, oh, you should go back to Auntie M. He's just traveling the country lying to people.
Nah, you're wrong. You're wrong. First of all, the only people who took nootropics in history were the Spartans. They took a nootropic stack.
That's what happened
before the Battle of Thermopylae.
Oracle of Delphi was nootropics coming up. Straight from Apollo.
They gave them a bunch of nootropics, and King Leonidas, who did look like Gerard Butler, did CrossFit, was like, I can feel my neurons growing, and if we survive this battle, I'm going to start a small business.
They didn't survive. That's the only reason.
He took MCT oil and nootropics. If you guys don't know what nootropics are, I do because I live in the alpha world. Nootropics are sugar pills with B12 in them.
This shit could be him like huffing airplane fuel.
That's pretty
in
much
the
what
corner,
it is.
And being like, you can't have any. It's too intense for you.
When a normal person takes it, they're like, oh, I'm going to go to bed 2 hours later. But when a genius takes them, they're more mindful, which means that they can read 5 Wikipedia articles a day.
I love that he's a guy who reads Watchmen and goes, yeah, I am the bad guy.
Yeah, he is...
What's his name? Ozymandias.
Yeah, he's Ozymandias, except like all his TV screens are porn and it's him not coming to maximize his natural oils.
Maximize alpha.
Cernovich is cool though because like most guys in the men's rights thing are family court failures in that they pay alimony and that's what made them retarded. But
let me tell you, that's what Tom Ligas is all about.
But Cernovich actually lives off alimony, which is fucking badass. Like he beat
and somehow he argues that makes him not a cuck.
He's right. He's right. I agree with him. He beat the system.
Sounds like a cook.
Nah, dude. He's like fucking... You don't see a folk hero. I do. I have no words for it. He went up against the crooked judge, Ellen Tao, the system that destroys fathers. And he came out the other side with enough money to write books like, you know, The Baboon Lifestyle, exposing your red ass in the boardroom.
Can you imagine how awful it would be or like a great attraction to invite him to like a party and be like, come over for this dinner party at my house. Oh, there's some wonderful friends of mine. And he comes in and takes his jacket off and he's like, my mind is operating at a high high level of equilibrium optimization.
Let's take a pleasant stroll with Mike Cernovich.
I see inferior creatures all around, living their worthless lives. I'm inhaling oxygen and processing it with far better efficiency than most mere humans.
See, like you're doing the alpha mindset voice of like a guy who talks like that or whatever. But like actual Mike Cernovich,
what does he sound like? Oh yeah,
he sounds like this. He's going, when you use neurotropics, when I give it to my friends, they remember too much and they can't even go to sleep because my mind is working. It sounds like fucking Sylvester the cat, basically.
Yeah. That's just like, hey, don't take ginkgo biloba after 8 p.m., dumbass. Haven't you ever been to a hippie vitamin store? It's just like some asshole who found hippie shit.
He's drinking green tea and he's like, this new brain serum gives me power to move objects with my mind.
No, he says that shampoo is for cucks now.
I agree.
Shampoo is for cucks. Just never wash your hair.
Are we just a step away from having TV ads where it's like, don't be a cuck?
I fucking hope so.
Don't use a cuckold's dishwashing liquid.
I just love how you can just rebrand the most like hippie, like eating disordered bullshit as masculine. And guys will be like, yeah, totally. I'm just drinking a lot of green smoothies. I went to Moon Juice, added a whole bunch of supplements. You are Amanda Chantel Bacon.
Yeah.
I'm not letting...
Shout out Amanda Chantel Bacon, who I went to high school with, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Gluten has always been homo curious. And, when you cut it out of your life, you find your true heterosexual.
You just rebrand stuff as like super hetero manly, but it's like, dude, you're just like asking, do you know where this chicken came from?
You know what he is? He's like, fuck, he's a white hotep.
That's
what he is, basically.
Yeah, like shout out friend of the show, Rod Dreher, got in this whole environmental kick because he found out that like petroleum products like increased estrogen levels in boys.
Yeah.
So now he's like, we only drink out of deerskin sacks in this household. My child will not be gay.
Yeah, people make fun of like the whole like Lady Mag seller culture, but it's so much easier to sell something to an insecure man.
Oh yeah.
Anything. Dumbest shit. Fucking B12 stuff with like, you know, sugar pills.
I can't imagine being that insecure that you could be, that you could be fooled into buying anything. Hold on. My onnit.com nootropic stack has just arrived. Will, I need to be paid 3 months in advance, by the way, for certain things that I've gotten that have nothing to do with my mindset.
The water is turning the frogs gay. When you hear this Chapo Trap House thing, they got some funny stuff on there. Some people like it, but I feel like there's definitely satanic content on their podcast. Literal Satan, not any kind of metaphoric Satan that normal people could be used in a rhetorical sense, but I mean actual Mephistopheles who haunts my living dreams. My life is a nightmare. I'm being tortured in Austin, Texas.
Oh my God, did you
from see a mind warped by hatred
did
of the New World Order
did
monsters.
You see Alex Jones? Wait, did you see Alex Jones has his kid on the show now?
Oh no.
What?
He's got a Cody son now. Like he's got like a 10-year-old boy that's Alex Jones Jr. Like he comes on the show now to talk to him.
Alex Jones Jr. sounds like Sherlock Holmes Jr. Like James Bond Jr. Some stupid
young Indiana Jones.
Yes. Well, he had supplement line, too. And it was great because he did a before and after picture. Looked exactly the same.
He looks more red in one of them.
The before after.
Yeah.
It's just because I started flexing and holding my breath in.
I mean,
his super male vitality shit is awesome. But like, this came up recently again. That whole weird thing that happened a while ago where, like, the weird libertarians that turned themselves blue permanently from taking homemade colloidal silver.
Yeah.
That's amazing. There was a bunch of people around the time that Y2K happened, like, the same people who buy, like, you know, gold coins and survival seeds and shit like that. They thought that, like, Y2K was going to, like, crash the world and there was going to be no antibiotics. So they decided to treat themselves with colloidal silver. Which, if you take enough of, actually turns your skin blue and you look like a smurf.
Is it permanent?
Permanent.
Yes. Yeah.
They tell you when you get it, hey, take 3 squirts a day and no more. And then you're like, okay. I didn't know it turned you blue. Well, it turns you blue, and then they toss you out of the Smurf village onto your head.
No, dude, that's how the Blue Man Group started. The Blue Man Group is the...
We have information the Blue Man Group is infiltration. It's a CIA op.
No, dude, they're anti-state.
I have information that Banksy is a COINTELPRO operation on behalf of the royal family. We've seen documents.
Well, that's like liberals now. Liberals are like on that Lyndon LaRoche bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Where like, yeah, like, didn't Sarah Kendzior just straight up post a LaRoche pamphlet the other day?
Yes. It would be great. I want those lefty, not, I shouldn't say lefty, those liberal think piece people, I want them to just do the Futurama thing and be like, we believe in the brain slug planet. We believe in exorbitantly high subsidies for the brain slug planet.
Speaking of people who are terrified of the Russians and have extremely strange like conspiracy theories.
People who are extremely afraid of the Russians but also incredibly high T. One of the last things that happened in 2016, right under the wire, was proprietor of Talking Points Memo, Josh Marshall, accidentally
discredited failure of a prognosticator.
My former boss. Will's former boss.
I interned for Talking Points Memo back in 2006.
You've actually written some of these Talking Point memos?
Yep.
He's written a memo.
I've written a memo or two. Yeah. He accidentally tweeted out a link to porn, to a Pornhub video.
Right.
It was a special moment, but I think you should be...
We should clarify, though, it was hilarious.
Sure.
But one, you know, there but for the grace of God go we all.
Mm-hmm. One must never porn shame.
Okay, well, right. I want to know, like, why did he have the link copied?
Right, that's the thing. It's like, it was incredibly... First of all, it was incredibly tame porn, which is hilarious. We would have expect him to be a freak, because the Talking Points Memo office has a sex room.
They do have a fuck room, and he is watching Girl on Girl. Like, he's 14 goddamn years old.
It has, like, red lights in it and shag carpet.
We're going to give a breakdown of the clip itself in a second, but...
Like the Zapruder
film. Yeah.
What if it's a partial limited hangout, and he wants to leak, and the porn is supposed to show, like... His darkest fantasy is actually really respectful towards women.
Right. Well, what was the tweet?
Yeah.
What was the tweet?
It's woke. It's woke porn. Yeah.
The tweet was about, like, he had previously linked to a Politico article.
Is it still up on his Twitter?
Where Trump, the Trump team said that the new leaks about Russia are targeting them or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was, I think, trying to copy and paste the previous link that he had retweeted. But he had his own commentary, which is like, well, they did say close associates, i.e. being Trump is a close associate of Vladimir Putin.
Right. So
underneath that was Angela and Strawberry kissing, touching, coming.
Look, it's funny just on the pure basis of that's like a horrible cringeworthy mistake. But the truly funny thing about it
is that... It's still up on his Twitter!
He tweeted the porn while trying to feed into a second Cold War.
Which means that he was jacking off while tweeting.
Yeah.
Which is what we've always said people do. It's normal, and you shouldn't make fun of me for it anymore. No matter what room
I'm in. Still, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Let's watch Angela and Strawberry for a second.
I'll warn you, the mic sensitivity is very... It's a little grating. There's a lot of smacking noises.
Okay. All right. Okay, this is Angela and Strawberry.
Josh Marshall pays like $100 a month for Suicide Girls.
Yeah.
What a fucking baby. PNV all the way.
I gotta say, I think it's cute. It's the most endearing thing about Josh Marshall.
Fast forward.
I have a separate Raspberry Pi that has all the pornographic content on it.
This is now what? 10 minutes into this porno video,
they're
and
still,
they're still
like,
kissing.
Fully clothed, yeah.
They're still kissing. You're right though, because like you said, there but for the grace of God go I.
Yeah.
There but for the grace of God go me, like tweeting a link to pornography would be like, there's no more Chapo Trap House. Like, the show's over.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm off Twitter forever.
Let's just say when it comes to pornography, Will is on Grubhub looking at pizza. You know what I mean, folks.
No, but his it was like I just have to say that was woman affirming erotica. It was two women pleasuring each other mutually. They care about each other's orgasms. They talk about they actually like this is a Pornhub clip in the actual film. They talk about consent for a good 20 minutes before they get down to it.
Click here for the
enthusiastic
clarification.
Enthusiastic consent.
To the fuck.
Yeah.
But we were just expecting something much. I didn't know that adult men like such tame porn.
They don't.
Yeah,
they don't.
Yeah.
I want to know what kind of porn Eric Garland watches.
No, he said
redheads.
Oh, what a freak.
Yeah. Who?
The game theory douche, like
Eric Garland, that guy. What? Yeah. Okay, every 2 weeks there's some new idiot that I'm supposed to know who he is.
Yeah,
and that was the one from the last.
That's
couple
why
weeks.
You got to be online all day.
The lips are trying to make.
He's somebody that you know who he
now.
Is if you're online all day.
Yep.
And otherwise, then I am also one of those people. I'm waiting for those kinds of people to actually show up to a real protest for the first time in their lives and see there's anarchists and communists here.
I'm waiting for a real protest, too. It's called the Rally to Restore Sanity.
Is that the Colbert thing?
Yeah, hell yeah. I want there to be like an American Mishima, but it's going to be Josh or Eric, and he's going to lock himself in like the, the fucking
one Coast of the Guard.
Coast Guard buildings to protest the deficit.
And he becomes a 300-foot robot.
Yeah, that's really what happened to Mishima. He turned into Gundam.
I'm still really insulted that he just admitted to just like being on like Adderall and booze and just said it's craft beer. Like that doesn't make you drunk and on Adderall. Like, don't deny your drug use.
What was the context
use.
That he was on drunk and
he
on
was
Adderall?
He was like, I'm hopped up on Adderall.
Right.
And,
like, over-tweeting
the context was like, of tweeting 250 like linked thoughts.
Like, talk about
together.
Class privilege. You know how to drop that code in there so people don't think you're just getting fucked up and going on a tweet storm.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was in the context of someone being like, epic.
You're on fire.
Epic win, my good sir. You won the internet. Plus
I
doff
like
some
my
asshole
cap to
doing
you.
That. Yeah, and him being
I'm
like
drinking and driving, but it's I'm drinking and driving, but it's a Prosecco and it's a Tesla.
But yeah, we don't hate Josh. We're not judging Josh.
Certainly not for that.
No, yeah.
Not
for that. Yeah.
It's funny.
It's just funny as hell.
Again,
less of him bored.
That's the most endearing thing he's done in a very long time. He's trying to like drum up a new Cold War. The porn thing, frankly, is like, maybe now people will listen to you less because you can't open a second fucking window.
Well, this is
porn.
Liberal OPSEC. It's John Podesta clicking on the phishing link.
Yeah,
it's,
this was clearly Russian hackers that did this to him.
If I could interpret Strawberry's mouth for a second, she'd be saying, "Girl, don't be coming at me with that bullshit." It's Clara watching it. My 11-year-old son sees Angela and Strawberry over my shoulder and says, "Mommy, are they the president?" And I say, I hope that
one day,
they'd go girl on girl in the Oval Office.
That's really progressive to have a son that calls you mommy.
I let him choose.
Yeah. So look, it's up to him. Gender is whatever a child says it is. That's my stance. Yes, I'm mindful. Yes, I take nootropics. No, I don't believe in gender. Fuck you.
I don't think of myself as a parent.
Gender shit. That whole
gender shit is chump.
It's just chump.
Yeah. That shit is a continuum, chumps.
Fuck those guys. fuck Angela and Strawberry. Anyway, so Obama stabbed Israel in the back.
Did you guys talk about Kurt Eichwald in last week?
Yeah, we did a little bit.
My favorite thing about it was the large binder of documents that he had that was clearly like not real
falsehoods.
Well, you should also, you could just bring out like, here's my, if you want to play that game, here's my evidence, and you pull like a drawer that like pulls out 12 feet and it's got like clown noses in it.
If I may call a witness to the stand, actually 7 witnesses, they're all in this little car.
Your Honor, if my client was a bad guy, why are all of his witnesses dressed like angels? And then like 12 choir children come in dressed like angels.
I actually, all my evidence is in a children's pop-up book that makes it look huge. It's Richard Scarry presents Tucker Carlson falsehoods.
That was one of my Jesse Ventura jokes. I have, there's a, ma- I have a, I subscribe to
Questions Monthly. And it comes with a also a children's subscription to Suspicions for Children. It's a it's like Highlights, but it's targeted towards children who want to know the truth. What's wrong with this picture? And there's a lot. There's a picture of JFK's assassination. And then you fold it in, and it reveals who really did it. And it was Lyndon Johnson.
All right, guys, should we call it a show?
I think
we're good. Amber, best of luck in London across the pond.
Yeah.
Awesome on your vacation.
I'm just going.
Oh,
just
sick.
Just going.
She's teaching a course about Strawberry and Angela at the London School of Economics.
Yeah. For me, there's this strawberry and what is
it? Angela.
Strawberry Angela. And for me, for a man to have an orgasm for this is also that is debasement of one. There is nothing more higher than to become a cockle.